You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The government said last week it is amending a current bill that shifts water fluoridation decision-making from local authorities to local DHBs and give the power to the Director General of Health. And on the line right now is Associate Health Minister Dr. Aisha Virol. Kia ora, Minister. Why is the government proposing this?
These decisions about fluoride, which are really important for people's dental health, particularly children, we want them to be made consistently. And a way to do that is to give the decision making to the Director General, who is of course a health expert, and take it away from politicians.
But why not give it to local DHBs where they have the local knowledge of what is actually going on?
Well, so it's the main thing is that the Director General can take local factors into account, like the feasibility of the particular water supply infrastructure and how hard or easy it is to put fluoride into it. So local factors still matter, but the thing is the science of how much fluoride helps prevent dental decay is going to be consistently applied across the country.
And who will bear the cost and to administer the fluoridation after the law change?
Yeah, so of course half the country already fluoridates its water, and in that situation the local councils do that. For the majority of cases that will remain the same, we have a small fund available that could support small water suppliers coming on with any capital expenditure they need to do to start fluoridation, and that's something we'll be over time releasing the criteria for accessing that.
Right. I know you're busy. You have other meetings. So my final question will be, what about non-council rural water supplies like wells or tank water? Will they be subjected to the same fluoridation standards?
No, and that's what I mean. It's not feasible to do every tiny water supply. So that is an issue. And those people need to seek health advice to see if there's an alternative like tablets for them.
Dr. Virol,
and of course, brush their teeth twice a day with fluoridated toothpaste.
Right. Dr. Virol, thank you very much for joining the show.
Thanks, Justin. Bye-bye.
Thank you. And that was Associate Health Minister Dr. Aisha Virol. And now we will hear from Local Government New Zealand's President Stuart Crosby. I talked to him about the government's decision earlier this morning, and I began by asking what he thought about this move.
Well, we actually asked for that process to be removed from councils some time ago. Local government believed that type of, frankly, mass medication had to be a national decision as opposed to a local decision. In my own council here in Tauranga City years ago, we held two referendums to decide whether fluoride should remain in at that point and be taken out. And the answer was from the community for it to be taken out. But it's incredibly controversial and very difficult for a council to make an unbalanced decision, because you could get five acclaimed international expert reports to say fluoro is good for you, and you could get another five to say that it's unhealthy for you. So it's a very difficult situation for a council to make.
But by giving the water fluoridation's powers back to the central government, won't it take away local input?
Yes, it does. In terms of local decision making, you're quite correct. But on majority, our sector felt that is a matter of health, and that high level health issue should and must be taken by the government of the day, but more importantly, take accountability and responsibility for that decision. And that's where local councils always struggled in terms of getting that expert opinion consensus on this. So it was a real difficulty for local councils to make a local decision, generally often with input from the community. It was highly divisive, and there was no clear mandate from a community.
Okay, I kind of want to now talk about how water fluoridation is conducted now at local levels. So is it expensive for territorial authorities like city councils to fluoridate their own water supply?
There is a cost, but I wouldn't describe it as a big cost. when we did have it in the council I was on, it was basically a mixing machine and a small pump that put the appropriate level of fluoride into the system. So yes, there is a cost, but in terms of the overall cost of producing healthy water, it wasn't a big cost.
Do you know if under the new regulations, by giving the water fluoridation powers back to the Ministry of Health, is the cost going to be borne by local authorities or the central government?
Well, that's an interesting question. That's not clear yet. Many councils do already, of course, have fluoridation into their water supplies. I don't know the exact number, but I do know a number do. So for them, it's just business as usual. So that would be an interesting debate as to when councils that don't have it, or even the existing councils have it, who should pay. But bear in mind, there's a big debate going on in New Zealand at the moment about councils potentially shifting their water supplies to bigger water entities from 67 at the moment down to about 3 or 4. That's one issue. The other issue is, of course, we have some 800,000 to a million New Zealanders who are not on a council supply, you know, in rural and provincial New Zealand. And so, you know, what's going to happen to them?
That's interesting. I'm sure there will be another time to talk about this topic. But going to right at the beginning, you said water fluoridation is very divisive on the local level. And especially we have seen recently a lot of conspiracy theories coming up surrounding water fluoridation. Is it difficult for local authorities to handle this and send out correct information?
It is. It's incredibly difficult because, as I said, you can get world-renowned expert reports to say fluoridation is good for people's health, dental health in particular, obviously. And then you can get another five to say that in the long term it is detrimental to your health. So again, incredibly difficult for councils to inform their own communities on either the risks or benefits of fluoridation. And so that's one of the other reasons why it's best made at the national level, and that the national decision-making process, those people are made accountable and responsible for that decision.
And your time as Tauranga City Council, or maybe other city councils as general, have you seen any decisions to fluoridate water getting reversed because anti-fluoride advocates got elected to the territorial authorities?
Not recently, no. I haven't been aware of any recent debate around councils choosing to fluoridate their water or remove fluoride from their water supplies. This debate goes way back to the 1960s, actually, and I haven't seen one particularly over the last, five years, possibly 10 years. So at the moment, it's been in limbo,
Great.
The decision-making process.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.